And we've been joined by Hannah Brown as well. Hurrah! Or as Hannah likes to say, whoop, whoop. It's all right, she'll claim that back later. William, in Scotland, earlier today we received an email from Dr. Finn Pollard, of course, the host of the fabulous programme Past Prologue, and indeed resident American Studies expert as far as Siren and the university is concerned in many ways, back in the day when we used to have an American Studies degree. Oh, what fun times we had. But Finn, you are very keen to kind of talk about something that may be happening over, you know, in the American offices with respect to possibly President Trump simply adopting the line he used to use on The Apprentice and saying, "You're fired."
Well, we're in an extraordinary moment in the United States. I have to say, when I woke up this morning, I did not expect to see a headline that the president had fired the director of the FBI. This is, I think, a unique moment, actually, in American history. There have been two previous occasions when an FBI director has been fired, but on neither occasion was it comparable to this. The first one was a director in the 20s who'd been involved in a scandal of going after a congressman because the then attorney general wanted to get back at him for something. And Clinton fired his first director of the FBI for personal misdemeanors, whereas this has been the removal of a director of the FBI in the middle of investigating persons close to the president over their links with Russia, and seems to have been done without consulting Congress, without consulting many people in the wider political community. So it's an extraordinary moment.
Mr. Comey actually thought he had only been in the post for about 4.5 years, so it was just a joke, really. Who's laughing now? From your own perspective as a Washington correspondent of times past, Bill, is this something which you would turn around and say, aha, yeah, I expect that, you know, in fact, I'm going to be the next FBI leader myself?
I was pretty surprised. I particularly liked Trump's choice of words. He didn't say "you're fired." He said the guy was terminated, and that's a nice word. I've never seen that in a "you're fired" letter before. Terminated, but it is all part of the national moment. For me, American news has never been so exciting. Every single morning, I'm putting on the radio, and I'm wondering what has that crazy cat cunt done now. And so he's fired the head of the FBI. It's terrific. I'm sure that in the next year or two, he will be duly impeached.
What has that crazy cat done now? It's a question that's normally asked to Ben Lewis, actually, on a day-by-day basis. But Ben, any thoughts from yourself as a public relations person? I mean, this is public relations heaven, isn't it, really?
Well, heaven for who, though? Or whom? Mm-hmm. But, it's interesting. Whether it's something that his PR officers would be happy about is something that they'll probably be deliberating amongst themselves right now. But it's not a good one for himself, I don't think.
Terminated. Tessa, as a journalism undergraduate, what are your views on this whole process?
I find it very interesting as well, really, what Ben said. So, yeah, we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm. See what happens. Let's bring in Hannah from the Harwich perspective. Hannah, is this something which is floating your boat, or you're thinking, well, it's Donald, he's such a lad?
I wouldn't have picked those choice of words, but you never know what's going to happen next. And terminated is an interesting choice of words. It sounds more like he's been exterminated.
It could have been exterminated. I mean, there is that line that is, you know, hanging through that process. Holly, media production comes to the fore here. Your thoughts on the Trump Comey sacking?
Oh, it's just another exciting part that we could add to the documentary we could make of Trump in the future. I think
there'll be several, actually, that'll be there.
I mean, it's going to be a long one.
There'll be a Netflix series.
Well, I mean, obviously using as precursors House of Cards mixed with Earth, Final Conflict mixed with a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Kaylee, as somebody whose mother is American from Vermont, what's the view from Vermont?
It's just quite frightening. You don't know what he's going to do, so who knows what's to come.
There's lots of uncertainty here, Bill. Lots of uncertainty. That's before we even start talking
about Brexit. Isn't that what we like, though? We don't want just the same old. That's why you voted for Brexit. And
Sorry. When you say you voted for Brexit, I mean, I don't want to get political on this particular aspect, but you know, bear in mind, you can't say you in a kind of collective you there. Maybe, let's say, 48% didn't vote for Brexit.
All right. 52% of those that voted. You're protesting a little bit too much, Alex. Did you vote Brexit?
I'm not going to sort of work on those channels of avoiding neutrality as far as Siren's concerned. Natasha Armstrong, from your own perspective, I know you're more into the royal family than Trump, but you know, you're terminated.
Yeah, to be honest, I woke up this morning and I read the headlines and it didn't surprise me at all. I think it's got to the stage where you kind of expect the unexpected to the point where it doesn't even have an impact now when he does something stupid. So
it was apparently, Finn, all down to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who advised Trump to sack Comey. The transcript basically was he wasn't doing a good job, according to Trump. Very simply, he was not doing a good job.
Well, the theory seems to be that they thought that if they made it on the grounds of Comey's conduct of the investigation into Clinton, which, of course, ironically, many in the Trump team were praising until only a few days ago, really, that would keep the Democrats on side in undertaking the sacking. I mean, the other thing that's interesting about the role of the Attorney General is a lot of comparisons have been drawn today to 1973, the Saturday night massacre during Watergate, the firing of the special prosecutor, that sort of undermining of the legal process by the president.
They won't have Richard Nixon to kick around anymore.
Well, I mean, and of course, the Nixon Library is having a field day with this. They've tweeted, Nixon never fired the Attorney General, #, not Nixonian.
Fake news, exactly.
But, of course, in that case, that the Nixon Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General both resigned and said, you know, we will not be a party to this process. Whereas, of course, Sessions and his deputy have happily endorsed the Trump line, which is, you know, another thing that suggests the sort of unique situation I think we're getting into.
When questioned, did it affect his meeting with the Russians today? Response, not at all. Bless him. It means the last edition of Past Prologue, Volume 3, title Mad Kings and Bad Kings. Was it just the Finn Pollard prescient power of the history department here sort of saying, yeah, he's become the George III of our present time?
Well, it's getting there. And, of course, this question of impeachment is being talked about and written about. But at the moment, the only way that will move forward is if the Republican majority in Congress decides to go down that route. And at the moment, still, they're mostly lining up and supporting what he's done. And indeed, pushing back again. You know, the Democrats have been saying again today, we should have more we should have an independent prosecutor, as was the case with Watergate. And the Senate Majority Leader, McConnell, has been pushing back and saying, no, we absolutely don't need this. There's plenty of investigations going on already. So I'm one of the skeptics on impeachment. I think it, at least until the midterms, we could be, you know, this could keep going.
Okay, I appreciate we're talking from the British perspective, but the line impeach or not impeach, what the hey? Let's look our way through this. Let's do a quick straw poll in the studio. One word, impeach or not impeach, Natasha?
Well, I think
one
he's
word.
Getting to the end of his impeach.
Impeach, right. Kaylee?
Impeach.
Holly?
I'm not actually sure what this word means in this context.
Nice, good response there. Diplomatic response, has to be said. Hannah, impeach or not impeach?
Impeach.
Tessa?
I'm not very sure. I'm
okay, but
indecisive.
More than one word there. Oh. And Ben?
Let it go on. I'm finding it quite entertaining.
Yeah. Okay. Entertaining. We'll go with that.
The thoughts in Edinburgh? I mean, from your own perspective, Bill? I mean, is this a line you're thinking?
I'm not impeaching him. Trump is doing wonders for the national merriment and global merriment, and we want him in. We want the show to go on for another few years.
You see, the show must go on for a few more years. And I must admit, Donald is looking very happy, shaking the hand of Sergei Leonov, the Russian ambassador Kislyak. Because, I mean, what's not to love when you've got a commander-in-chief who has that cheesier grin to actually say, it's all well with the world. That's the important thing. From this, we're almost onto Eurovision, which is a different perspective entirely and a different line and so on. Are you planning ahead to the next Past Prologue, Phil?
We are. We are looking at elections. It seemed a topical moment to think about that.
Well, there we are. That's the Finn scenario. And that's all we'll say on the matter of elections this time, because otherwise we're into balance and all sorts of other areas. So we'll maintain that. Thank heavens Camo from Nashville isn't here. Otherwise we'd go into all sorts of other areas. We will be attempting to connect with SFX USA editor Tara Bennett, and she might have another couple of words to say with respect to that. Bill, any questions you'd like to put to the Magnificent Seven that we have in the studio for the duration at least?
All right, then, I have. I'm going to give you a little piece of Donald Trump philosophy and see whether you agree with it. Donald said that if somebody had not been your friend and you got the chance to do them down, then you should take it. And this is what he's done with Twomey. He's taken him down, and any old excuse to take him down. Do we agree with this kind of philosophy?
Tessa?
I don't think so. I don't think it's very fair. I'm not sure. So, I'm a completely different person, so for me, I'd give anybody another chance. But you know.
Another chance for Tessa. Yeah. Holly?
No, I definitely not.
You're definitely not. Agree. Ben?
From my own personal perspective, no, but from a businessman's perspective, I can see why he would. Because they've all got to do succeed in business, you've got to let other people down.
Ruthlessness. Oh. Is that what you're saying? Ruthlessness. Yes. I thought we got a new caring society developing. Hannah?
I can't say I would personally. I've not really met anyone I'd really want to kick to the gutter, so to speak.
And let's hope you never do, actually. Because let's face it, what goes around comes around. I'm not going to go into karma at this particular stage, but yeah. You never know. Natasha?
Yeah, no, I think I am a big believer in karma, and I like to think that people kind of get their just desserts in the end. So, no, it's not something I'd imply personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, which leaves Kaylee?
I disagree with that completely. I think you should treat people with respect, and that's how everyone should be.
Finn?
Don't think I've got anything to add.
Does that solve the challenge from your own perspective in Edinburgh, Bill?
Well, everyone's much too nice. So we're just saying that you've got enemies and you just suck it up and you let them get away with their bad behaviour, and that you don't, you just wait for karma to take its course and you never get busy and you never do anything to take them down.
That, in essence, I think, is the summation of what the Midweek Drive team have actually come up with this week. You know, it's a kind of Midweek Drive Buddhist approach on life, really. That's the system. Does it not float your boat north of the border?
Well, I have tried it. I mean, I think it was Mencken who said that if you sit by the riverbank long enough, you will see the bodies of your enemies float by. But Donald, he is of the opinion that if you have the chance to do somebody down, then you should take it. And he saw the chance, and so he took it.
But I would...
And I quite like that.
Phil. Finn.
I was only going to say, I think that the only issue with Trump is that he can take people down on the smallest pretext. You know, if you offend him in even the slightest way, you can be history in a moment from any job or any other position in which he's got you. And I think that's, you know, I think there's a sort of extreme quality to that, which in the role he's in is quite worrying.
Mm. Okay, last two questions for Bill Coles, please. Tessa?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have loved it, just as I always do.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
Just as soon as that crazy cat Alex asks me.
Well, as I say, it is the 61st Eurovision Song Contest television programme that emerges. Actually, that's the 62nd edition of Eurovision, which I think will certainly put the world to rights. And maybe whether she's singing about the European Union, whether she's singing about Brexit, or whether she's actually thinking about Donald Trump in this particular line, Never Give Up On You with Lucy Jones is going to take us into the next segment. Hey ho.
Tell me your secrets, I'll keep them safe. No sign of weakness, it's a sign of faith. We'll stand tall so you don't fall. You're not defeated, you're in repair. Don't have to call me, I'll always be there. We'll stand tall so you don't fall. If you could see how far you've walked, you would see that all's not lost.
First time we can hopefully, via the magical medium of the Skype scenario, welcome Tara Bennett to the production. How are you, Tara?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, we knew we'd reach it one day, and lo and behold, that magic has now arrived. 3.5 years after we first started connecting, there we are, all connected. And to celebrate, Tara, we've got 7 fabulous folk to actually work through that. I'll just remind the listener, in the studio we have Ben Lewis.
All right.
We have Tessa Snart.
Hello.
We have Holly McGrattan.
Hello.
We have Dr. Firden Pollard.
Hello.
We have Kaylee McUmphreville.
Good evening.
Very polite, Kaylee. I'm very impressed with that. Nicely done. It's university challenge in waiting from that perspective. And we also have Natasha Armstrong.
Hi there.
And, of course, let's not forget Hannah Brown.
Hello.
She's from Harwich. I don't know if you caught any of the sort of news so far, but it's fair to say, Tara, have you as yet been contacted to take up your role as the leader of the FBI?
No, that's Fox Mulder's job. I'll just be there for support.
Exactly, Finn. Go it to Fox Mulder. It's the truth is out there.
I think we'd all be a happier people, at least I would be, if he was taking that role over right now. Yeah. He'll get the truth.
So what's the sense in America now? I mean, you have the honour of being the first American transatlantic sail to comment on this particular story. But Dr. Finn Pollard has been saying it's unprecedented. Well, it's not unprecedented in some sense. It's got some kind of past history, but perhaps not quite to the level of Nixon. What's the thought in California from your own perspective, Tara?
Well, I'm very pleased that I live in a rather liberal state, and so we are constantly depressed and shocked. And every morning when you turn on whatever news device that you prefer, it's always, oh gosh, what's next? And it's never a happy morning for the last 110 days in this state, for the most part. I wasn't on board with this administration, and I'm still not. So it's this kind of news today, and the partisanship is very depressing. You'd much rather hear like Nixon's day, when there were quite a few Republicans that were appalled at what was going on with that administration and spoke out about it. But we don't seem to be in that space right now. So I will just say that, for a lot of us on the western part of this country, we are not happy campers. So,
well, there's always CalExit, or failing that, just seek out an otter. Let's move back to Finn. Is that kind of the expectation that you sort of think that, in terms of American scenario, or is it a case of, as Ben said, it's great entertainment?
I think if you're outside America, it probably has a little more entertainment value. I think if you are a Trump supporter from the election, still, I mean, one of the fascinating things is, in the same way the Republican Party is still staying pretty rock solid behind him, it appears from the polling that registered Republicans are still very solid behind him. Now, we haven't had any polls yet since the Comey firing, so that could be something that shifts it, but nothing else has really dented that yet. So I think if you're inside and you're not a Trump supporter, it's very difficult, I would imagine, you know, in much the same way as if you're in Britain and you're not a supporter of leaving the EU, I suspect it's very difficult to enjoy the sort of theatre of it as a sort of spectacle.
I see the FBI website still lists James Comey as their director, so clearly they haven't quite got into breaking news from that point of view. Maybe it's an alternate dimension. Tara, you've obviously written the guide and the book, The Blacklist, which of course is a series that deals with FBI shenanigans and so on. Does this kind of Trump fiction for you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, as ridiculous as the cases and the stories go with Red Reddington on The Blacklist, I think every show that deals with this kind of intrigue or satire, even, all are kind of throwing the papers in the air, going like, "Where do we go?" It's, you know, you can't write it as crazy as it's actually happening, and as ridiculous as plot lines seem to have gone on some shows, this keeps getting worse. In such a short period of time, too. It's not even like it's had a lot of time to fester. It just, from the gate, has been kind of ridiculous on top of ridiculous. And it's not even a, you know, when you watch a show like The Blacklist, there's some intelligence to it. Of course, there's some pushing of the boundaries, and there's, you know, many a point where many viewers may go, that's a little too much for me. But I think the stupidity of how things have unrolled in real life is just constantly surprising, that there's no finesse. There's not even trying to smooth the edges. It's just kind of dumb, and then dumb exposing more dumb. So it's a little more, even more frustrating to live, because you can't turn the channel and there's nothing smarter to watch.
And there's a writer's strike as well. It's not good, is it, really, from that point of view?
We actually got past that. We voted not to strike, because we actually did get what we wanted. So it's a great thing on that end. So that's a positive. Yeah. So we'll get more fiction unfettered on television for the next 3 years. So.
Well, there we are, you see. So any closing thoughts from yourself in terms of, or questions for Tara, that you'd like to sort of share whilst you're still with us?
Well, I was thinking about fictional parallels. Actually, the one that's been in my head today is actually, as a Babylon 5 fan, I keep thinking of lines when President Clark takes over the Earth government and starts dissolving the Senate, and you sort of have visions of fiction coming into craziness in contemporary politics.
That's why we say, Tara Bennett, SFX Magazine, mankind's last best hope for peace. Well, two people will actually get a handle on that. And we've got Earth Final Conflict coming up as the programme proceeds, so that's great news there. Let's open it up. Natasha, any questions from your own point of view for Tara in the States, SFX finds, although tragically, in the current edition of the world's number one sci-fi magazine, I can't find any Tara Bennett inclusions in the Alien package. This is outrageous. Thankfully, you've been contributing to Total Film, so that's by the by. So I shall raise that with Rich Edwards in good time. Natasha.
Yes, so having watched the trailer for the new Alien film, what do you actually make of it? Do you think that this is a step too far for the franchise, or do you think that actually, no, this is great?
It's in the Trump era. Trump, you know, Alien Covenant, you know, Trump, etc. He probably had a face hugger as a child.
I think you're right. I know it's such a great question, because Aliens is one of my all-time favorite movies of all time. I love the Ripley character. I love Alien, and I loved, you know, obviously how it kickstarted the franchise. I was not a Prometheus fan. And so I was kind of cautiously optimistic about what Covenant was going to provide to us in maybe correcting some of the silliness that happened in Prometheus. I mean, Prometheus was a beautiful movie, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And boy, there were some dumb characters in that movie. I am hearing from everybody. I almost got to see it on Friday, but had a scheduling change. But yeah, no, this is a step too far, as you said. I'm not happy about where this lovely, important franchise is going, and it looks very repetitive and derivative to me. It almost looks like Ripley's kind of redoing Alien again, and you know, there's nothing that's the whole idea of kind of backwards engineering Ridley's movies that these date back into Alien, which is really what these movies are attempting to do, feels unnecessary. I'd rather not know where the alien comes from if it's as dopey as they're kind of portraying it, or, you know, what its origins are. I'd rather just kind of keep the mystery of what the space jockey was and where their origins are and maybe move forward. Or Neil Blomkamp, had an idea for how to continue the aliens mythology and kind of ignoring Fincher's Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection afterwards. So I would even prefer to see that, where Ripley is and Newt is as an adult, maybe, than the way that they've been investing in this. But what do you guys think about it?
Let's start with Holly. Alien, does it float your boat, or would you say impeach that alien now?
No, I like it. I was just thinking if Trump is going to restart his film career, and maybe we'll see him cameoing on it. Maybe we have.
Well, it's a precedent was set indirectly with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I suppose, who returned to movies after a period of time, working in California. Kaylee? Alien?
Well, I thought they took it too far to begin with, but I watched the trailer and it does look quite good, so...
It's a 20-page celebration of the greatest sci-fi horror series of all time in the current edition of SFX. See the way I got that corporate plug in there?
Oh, I think I might change my mind.
Yeah. Ben?
You know I don't like sci-fi that
much. Last week we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just as well he wasn't with Rocket Raccoon and the impact that he's actually had on cultural scenarios, etc. But meanwhile, speaking about science fiction, you might just recognise this particular intro to Season 5.
In the 21st century, an alien species known as the Talons came to Earth with the promise of peace. They lied. Their true agenda was to dominate us. After years of struggle, the Talons have perished, leaving more aggressive beings in their wake, the Atavus.
You see, astonishingly, puzzle looks in the studio. Finn, you remember Babylon 5, but not that particular scenario. The five seasons, same number of seasons as Babylon 5.
I'm lost.
Not lost in space either. Let's return to Tara. I'm sure you must have identified that particular series. It is, of course...
No, I don't know. Actually, you got me too. I was listening to that intro going, what in the world is he playing?
What? Earth Final Conflict. Gene Roddenberry's Earth Final Conflict. Do you know?
Oh gosh. Okay, you were going deep in there. That was
sometimes.
Good.
I'm getting exasperated. In fact, I'm getting the DVD out of my bag now and specifically actually handing it round. We'll get a photograph and put it on Facebook of this whole series. How can you have forgotten Earth Final Conflict and the whole Talon ambassador and Da'an and Za'or and so on? Tara, you'll next be saying you've never heard of Andromeda.
Oh, no, that I've got. No. I got Andromeda's good. But, boy, that opening for that was completely a mystery to me. You got me. Well done.
I'm shocked beyond words, really. Almost as shocked as I was about the FBI story, but we won't cover that now because I think we've done it in depth and it's pretty much gone from there. We need to do the photo shoot. Finn will be leaving us in a number of times. Tara, are you happy to stay with us?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Excellent. This is what we like to hear. Easing through the Californian weekday scenario of Wednesday, which is a little great because in California now, if we're looking at the actual time, I reckon it'll be 9:30 a.m.
Correct, sir. Absolutely.
Oh, good, you see. In Britain, of course, it's just coming up to 29 minutes to 6 o'clock now. It's amazing, these time zones in all sorts of ways. We'll be speaking to Sarah Bradbury up in a few moments with her band Lover. But we've also been speaking about Eurovision. Now, Eurovision, I appreciate that Australia, which is a key member of the Eurovision Song Contest, never quite understood that either, really, but they're back in, as indeed is Israel. Has that, as a cultural product, crossed the Atlantic to California? Tara, are you familiar with Eurovision? If we started breaking into Waterloo and Making Your Mind Up and Love Shine a Light on Me, would you go with that?
I am. I'm very familiar with it, so I'm good to go. Yes.
Well, in which case, we've already played the British entry in terms of Eurovision, but one senses that really there are lots of other countries that are actually there as well. So I'm going to give you a couple of options in terms of possible ways to sort of take this live. I mean, Finn, any particular country that you sort of think we should definitely have a listen to what they're putting into Eurovision this time around?
Oh, no. Heaven knows. No, something peculiar, I think. Those are usually the most fun ones.
Well, this time around, I've actually changed my own listening habits to Eurovision, and I've been listening to the songs before the actual night itself. Previously, I've held back and haven't actually listened until the event itself took place, on the grounds that that was a way of getting a kind of sense of what was happening, etc. Now, we could actually offer you, Tara, because I think you're in pole position here, one of the entries that didn't quite make it through the semi-final. So there is that, and that's from Finland, and that's Norma John and Blackbird. It's also quite interesting seeing the way it kind of ties in with the various other areas. We can also, in addition to Blackbird, probably put forward probably quite an outstanding little number, which actually comes from Croatia, and it's titled My Friends. That would possibly be my choice, I think. It epitomises politics now, My Friend, etc. In fact, I'll make a decision for you, but which one would you go for, Tara? Would you go for Blackbird, which, of course, hasn't been successful in getting through the semi-final, or would you go for Croatia's entry, My Friend?
I'm a huge fan of the Beatles' Blackbird, so I'd like to hear another song that gives a go at that title.
Yeah,
let's see.
I thought you might, but somehow I think Finland, possibly written during the Midnight Sun, not working. But let's not preempt it. You might well turn around and say, Norma John, you have been badly done to. Here it comes.
Blackbird, don't sing to me. Don't sing below my window. Fly somewhere else, don't bother me. Don't sing below my window. Who sang when he was in my bed? Who sang when my heart sang? Now you remind me of something I'll never have. So Blackbird, Blackbird, I am now alone. Somewhere else go make your home. Don't nestle here, go find lovers of your own. I am now alone.
Tara Bennett, Blackbird, Don't Sing. I take it it hasn't improved the mood in California.
Goodness, it's a somber little song, isn't it? It started with a little bit of like a Sia vibe, but then it got a little more lilting than her. Oh. So not bad, but just kind of doesn't really go anywhere, aside from being a little droopy.
Thankfully, we can't say the same about Lover. Can we, Sarah Bradbury? Welcome to the programme.
Hello.
There we are.
Yeah, thanks very much. No, you definitely can't say the same for Lover.
I would have thought not, because I've been privileged enough to actually hear what we're about to feature in a few moments, Sarah. I'll just introduce you to the team. First of all, Sarah, whereabouts in the country are you at present?
I am in London, in the busy city.
See, London connects with Lincoln in England, connects with Los Angeles as well, with Tara Bennett. Fantastic.
Yes, indeed.
Tara can formally welcome you to her programme, because it's the first time Tara has actually been able to stay with us, almost as though she's in the studio, anchoring the decisions. And let's face it, we couldn't actually... Captain Janeway would have been, you know, in awe of your good self, Tara. So there we are.
Well, welcome. But yes, no, I'm just in the back, quietly saying hi and bye whenever they answer me a question.
Well, hello. One of these days, Sarah, I'll be asking you what kind of soundtrack you'd like to write for Tara's Dancing with Otters. It's a movie that I know she's working on.
Please. Please do. That would be wonderful, yes.
And in
That's the dream.
In the studio here, we have the fabulous Natasha Armstrong.
Hi.
Hello.
And we have Hannah Brown.
Hello.
And we have Kaylee Umfraville.
Hello.
And we have Holly McGrattan.
Hello.
And we have Ben Lewis.
Hello.
Tessa Snart is currently escorting Finn off the premises because the comments that Finn made over Blackbird just were unrepeatable. We had to forcibly take him out of the studio. Physically, he got so annoyed with the whole thing. He was so looking forward to the Croatian selection. I said, Finn, it'll happen before too long. You know, all will be well with that. But the great news is we can actually move now to an opening for The Delights of Lover. Talk to us a little bit about Lover, please, Sarah Bradbury.
I will indeed. So, Lover, we've been together for just over a year now, I would say. And we have had this kind of ridiculous few months in the past 6 months where we've been touring with the likes of Steve Norman and Earl Slick on the Station to Station tour, which was just incredible. Getting to perform to Bowie fans, which is, of course, just an amazing experience. And then we went on and did some shows with Heaven 17 and The Beat. So we've been doing lots of really great supports around town. And very, very excitingly, we've just released our album, Human Geography. So it's an exciting time for Lover.
It's just even more exciting because we're about to listen to Self Destruct. Now, a quick question before we ask you to introduce this, Sarah. Why the kind of wonderful live opening that we have, in which it sounds as though, oh, we've just tuned into a group of friends actually sort of having coffee or tea or something?
Why?
Yes.
Why not?
Well,
Why not?
I know exactly of what you say from that particular perspective, and you know, why not indeed? So would you like to introduce the... And it's not advice by any means, but it is something which fits into our coverage that we've been having of events with the FBI and with America Today. Don't do this, but would you like to introduce Self Destruct by your good self? Sarah, take it away, please.
I will, indeed. If you're wanting a song that's a bit dramatic and there's a lot going on in the world right now, tune in and get carried away by Self Destruct by Lover.
We're in an old Western movie. It's great, isn't it?
The trick is not to get, the trick is not to despair. The trick is not to get, the trick is not to despair.
I want you, I want us, I want everything clean. A white cotton blouse and a healthy regime. I want sugar roses and pictures in frames. A couple of babies with old-fashioned names. Flowers in vases and family round. I build these pretty palaces and then I kick them down. The trick is not to care, the trick is not to despair. I'm back in self-destruct, that old familiar place. Sorry for myself. I'm back in self-destruct, I'm writing my own fate. Bored with being bad, but unable to go straight. You see love, not the shadow and stuff. I want what you want, but it's never enough. I get caught by the real, by the spaces between. Too much sunshine and joy make me edgy and mean. And I know how I'll end, even as I begin. I build these pretty palaces, and then I kick them in.
The trick is not to care, the trick is not to despair. I'm back in self-destruct, that old familiar place. Sorry for myself. I'm back in self-destruct, I'm writing my own face. Bored with being bad, but unable to go straight. I pick a fight, so I can be right. Cause I've done too much wrong to conceal. But when you get upset, I'm full of regret. I'm resenting you for making me feel. That old familiar place. Sorry for myself. I'm back in self-destruct. I'm writing my own fate. Bored with being bad. I'm back in self-destruct. That old familiar place. Sorry for myself. I'm back in self-destruct. I'm writing my own fate. Bored with being bad, but unable to go straight. Nothing's any different. Nothing's really changed. Nothing's any different. Nothing's really changed. Nothing's really different. Nothing's really changed. You say I'm just imagining, but here it comes again.
Yes, a round of applause, please. Yay!
Thank you.
Tara Bennett in Los Angeles. The trick is not to self-destruct. Did it float your boat? Has it got you up for the day?
Oh, absolutely. I loved it. It was the antithesis of the other song we listened to. Great job. It was really, really, really fantastic. I'm going to look for the album now. Thank you.
Thumbs up from the American market. Let's go for the British jury, though. Will they go for Wyoming? 12 points. Let's see. Why couldn't we have actually had Lover in the Eurovision Song Contest? It would have been much more exciting. Hannah, your thoughts?
It's very different to a lot of the music I've normally listened to, but it was very interesting. It was, you know, good beat.
Of course, in the studio, we've been watching the video as well. Starts off on the bed, goes through various streets of scenarios from that perspective. Where did you shoot the video, Sarah?
It was various places around London. It was actually our label director's house, which is on the outskirts of London. So it was a bit of a random day, to be honest, but great.
Well, of course, our keen video maker and producer, Holly McGrattan, might have one or two thoughts to say. Holly, thoughts from yourself?
It looked like it was really fun to make.
She's ended up in a cemetery now.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
I was still...
I liked the different environments that you filmed.
Kaylee?
I feel like your style persona is very like Wendy James from Transvision Vamp.
I was getting kind of Transvision Vamp moment there. Too young to remember Transvision Vamp, of course, Sarah Bradbury, but, you know, it's just a thought from that. Natasha?
I could definitely feel the anger you were trying to get across. So if you were trying to, as just Tessa was saying, it's making her really angry, so I can get the anger if that's
what you're
feeling
still.
We've held Tessa back for a time.
Girl, like Rebel. Not like really bad, but angry.
So how rebellious on a scale of 0 to 10 did self-destruct actually make you, Tessa? This could be critical in terms of marketing procedures.
I'll go with 8.
An 8?
I guess that...
No,
great.
Yes,
I'm pleased with that.
It was good. It had a Blondie feel to it, like one way or another, I thought.
I'll take that.
And Ben Lewis, is Lover going to go down well in Brighton?
Well, I don't know. He's playing Brighton to find out. No, it was very good. Like Tessa, it was quite Blondie-esque. Mm. It did remind me of Blondie, so no, it was alright.
I think it would go down well on Horizon.
More importantly, will it go down well in Brixton at the Windmill on May the 12th? Of course it will. The single's released at the O2 Academy in Islington on May 26th, and it's the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen on July 28th, where the album is launched. And of course you can go to YouTube and simply type in the words Lover and self-destruct. Is it meant to have an optimistic message, Sarah? Is an optimistic notion from that perspective, or is it a case of, well, you know, in the words of the bio for your good self, Sarah Bradbury, no relation to Ray Bradbury, by the way, just wanted to clarify that.
I'll go with that. I spend my life, I think, saying no relation, but I do have a granddad called Ray, so we'll go with it.
Do you know that
the song?
Or Jason or Julia.
Ben, back in the day. No, thank you, Ben. No relation to Julia Bradbury, nor indeed Jason Bradbury either.
No, but hey, let's say yes just for the sake of it, for this conversation. Go with the flow.
Sarah.
The song, we do, I think there is a positive spin on it, for sure. But I think when we were writing this song, all of us had very different different ideas and different colours that we were trying to paint it with. So I think it kind of leaves you with this idea of, I don't know how to feel. I'm confused, and that's great.
Sarah is the woman who men aspire to be and women dream about. Confident, alluring, and with a voice known to tame the wildest of animals, she is the personification of feminine charm. Armed with the strength and flexibility of 1,000 warriors, Sarah is the front and centre and coherent chimera of the group. Tara, I've waited for years to actually use the term coherent chimera when reviewing an album.
You used it very well in a sentence. Points for you.
Well, it's all part and parcel of the rich Manila PR promise that's put together on that. A six-piece London-based pop rock band, and just moving on. Tara, any questions that you got for Sarah?
How are you feeling about the music business right now? I know a lot of people that are here in Los Angeles doing it, and independent artists, and obviously it's very, very hard to kind of make a living from it nowadays, but how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I feel I'm a very positive person, so I'm one of these proactive, go-get-it kind of types. So I'm feeling great about it. I mean, it's hard because playing in London is tough. You play the toilet circuit, and you know, sometimes we play for two people, sometimes we play to 200. It differs on the day, but we're just ploughing on through, you know. And you see familiar faces, and you see the talent that's out there, and it's too good to throw away, you know. So we're enjoying ourselves, we're having a great time, we're just hoping that other people start to enjoy the music too.
Good.
It's rather like a scene from one of those 1970s movies, a la The Final Programme, or dare I say, even Clockwork Orange, really. We're looking at a whole range of sort of videos in the background there. I mean, Tessa, your jaw's been dropping at some of the images we've been seeing from Lover from that point of view. It's all good for that. Tara started typing away like a whirling dervish in the background there. It's wonderful. It adds to the whole thing. It's like being in an episode of Hill Street Blues while we're sort of opening
that
picture.
Sorry about that, guys. Business moves on.
Exactly. At the end of the day, you it just shows the multi-talented skill that Tara can bring, even filled in as can has have difficulty sometimes typing at the same time as he's communicating via Skype link. It's quite phenomenal. But Tessa, yes, any thoughts or questions about the images that we're seeing, all in monochrome?
Yeah, where did the idea come about? I quite like the...
For the video?
Yeah, for the video. I quite like your makeup around your eye. That's different.
I think that's a different tune,
actually.
Is that
a different tune?
But it's... Oh, we got some colour. It's marvellous.
I think it's White Bears. Yeah. I think maybe you're looking at the White Bears video. The back marks?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had a few ideas about the video, and then on the day, I just wanted to do something new, and I said, I haven't seen anyone with black under their eyes before, so let's just do that. A little bit carefree with things like this, so we just kind of did something new and went with the flow, and that's really how the band goes as well. Like, let's just try doing this. How about we try jumping off the stage? Yeah, that works. Let's do that again, you know?
It's almost as though you were made for a Holly McGrattan video, I feel, really.
I think we'll work with this.
Exactly. See, deal sorted. I think it's only fair that we actually return briefly to Eurovision and Croatia, very desperate to actually get another airing. Tara, are you happy for us to go into Jacques Udek? I'll say that again. Jacques Udek. Doesn't really sound Croatian.
I'm ready for the adventure. I mean,
Sarah, from your own perspective, Eurovision, does it float your boat? Will it be a case of, yes, I know what I'll be doing on Saturday evening?
Oh, listen, I'm so camp. I love it. Give me some glitter and sequins. I'm all over that. But no, I'm down with it.
Well, here come again, singing partly in English as well, which is the way they do these things these days. Although the French one does both French and English. Exactly. Don't utter Jean-Claude Juncker off microphone, Ben. If you're going to say it, get in front of the microphone. That's what we say, and we'll sort Jean-Claude our way through
Juncker.
That.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Juncker.
Thank you. Let's go to Jacques Udek, my friend.
There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything's a miracle.
There's a miracle, my friend,
happens every day. Hold out your hand, don't let it slip away.
Io so che esiste, guarda meglio su. Ritorna ogni giorno promettendo sempre più.
After the rain
nasce il sole.
I could see that working with a group of otters, Tara.
Oh, gosh, I think otters might have a problem with that one.
Do you think it could be at the falsetto range, that they might just have to be getting that sort of final, that peak there? I mean, from the opening spoken lyrics, you can see the epic nature. I think it will have fireworks on the evening. I think it definitely would.
I feel like it needs that and a glitter bomb or a glitter cannon. It sounds like the low-rent version of the prayer with that song from a couple of years ago with... Celine Dion.
One of the greats, of course, of the Eurovision era in many ways. Sarah Bradbury, will you be doing a cover version of My Friend any day soon with Lover?
Hey, look, I'm not going to rule it out. Mm-hmm. However, I will need to rock it up a little bit. I'm down with some backing dancers. I can work with that. But nice. I need to edge it up a little bit, if you see what I mean.
I think so. Let's find out the views of Hannah, because at the end of the day, Croatia is listening.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I prefer the Eurovision songs that are more upbeat and happy. It's like me and Natasha.
A nice one from Germany coming up later.
That's okay.
A nice one from Germany. Yeah. Well, you don't have time to run through all of them, otherwise it'd be a different show entirely. But, you know, just picked out some of the
Eurovision special ones.
Exactly. Natasha.
Yeah, no, it's surprising me how many countries seem to be going for the ballad scene this year. Mm. It seems to be progressing.
Solemn times, you know, if they don't do a ballad, they'll get sacked. It's just reflecting society and all manner of other things. Although I still think Lover should actually consider going in for it. Paul Weller apparently said he'd be happy to write a song for Eurovision. Sometimes I wonder.
That's just something about your career, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can't comment, etc. Sometimes Ben just throws these balls into play, and you think, where are we going? Anyway, I take it, Ben, Croatia didn't necessarily float your boat.
It was all right, wasn't it? I'm sure there's better ones, though, out there.
It was... Yeah.
He's waiting for the best one to come on.
Yeah. From a university that's 10th in the country as far as teaching quality is concerned, yeah, it was all right, won it, better things coming along. Make me proud.
No.
And Holly?
Yeah, I could definitely see it being a bit more rocky.
Mm, mm. OK. Kaylee?
I think it's more of a musical song, but that might fit Eurovision, but it definitely needs to rock.
It's not cheesy enough for Eurovision.
Who knows what the Kiev citizens, and indeed the citizens of Europe, will actually go for. And finally, Tessa.
Yeah, it was quite a dramatic sound. I can sort of see the fireworks and the glitter going off at the end. So.
Not as dramatic as Lover, but then again, we've already said that. Sarah, we have to say at this particular time two key questions for you, and I'm going to ask Tara to see if she can throw those questions across the Atlantic from Los Angeles to London. That's in England, Tara. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist it. It's the old man from Uncle thing. We have London, England. It's great, because it could be any other place in the world, obviously. Over to you, Tara, please.
I wasn't sure what questions I'm throwing.
You need to ask Tara, has she had a reasonably interesting telephonic ring? Is she likely to be returning in the not-too-distant future if we're blessed? Tara, your cue is now.
Oh, okay. Did you have I didn't write this down, guys. It's morning and I haven't finished my coffee.
Not to worry. Holly will bail you out. Go on,
thank
Holly.
You, Holly. Bail me out.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this
Wednesday,
morning.
Sarah. Tara's still staying with us, hopefully. It's important.
Have I had an interesting conversation with you this evening?
Exactly.
Good.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to say no.
Well, you could do, Sarah. You know, we don't know.
I've had a lovely time. Look, I'm hanging out. I'm having a good time with you guys.
Just
call me up and I'll be there and we'll continue this little conversation we are brewing.
I think that deserves a round of applause for Sarah Bradbury. And I can say now that our Sheffield Wednesday supporting PR officer Tony McDonough would be he'd be beside himself with joy and happiness on that one, Sarah. It's well done. It's marvellous. And as we actually take it through, let's go Australia. I think, you know, we'll, because after all, as we're well aware, looking at our geography, if we're talking about the Eurovision Song Contest, clearly Australia, it has got to be there. It's only a step before we actually include Canada and lots of other former colonies. In fact, I think United States, when Los Angeles, Tara, effectively declares Calexit, there's a place for you in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Thank goodness. I'll start working on that. That might be my next career on top of everything else I do.
Here's Isaiah. Don't come easy.
I can tell by your eyes you want more than this. But can we be much more beyond these sheets?